It's 20 minutes after the hour 4, and it is Radio Veritas 576 AM. It's Changing Gear with myself, Father Brian, a.k.a. Ndabaningi. And we are changing gear, because that is the show. As indicated at the beginning of this show, we are going to be joined on the line by my sister, Dr. Nothando Radebe. And we're going to try and unpack this whole concept of Heritage Day. And hopefully, by the time we finish this conversation, some of us are not going to be schizophrenic. Sister Nothando, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and I hope you had a great Heritage Day. Were you wearing your favorite three star?
I want to be very honest, and I'm not going to answer that question. Dr. Nothando, and I like the way you already shot in, because I'm at a stage in my life where I feel each time we talk about Heritage Day and Heritage Month, it has been reduced to the clothing that we wear on the day or in the month, or then sometimes it even goes beyond that, where people are asked then to prepare their what is regarded as their traditional foods and what is regarded as their traditional meals. And I was at a certain parish this last weekend, and there was a whole big charade and drama around, and I use the word drama purposefully, about local foods and dress and all that. And I think for me it sounded a bit over the top. I really appreciate it, but it was a bit over the top. Now I want to, let's start from understanding, what is heritage? What should be, what are we celebrating, and what are we going to be celebrating this whole month?
I think we have to look at the historical context, because, you know, holidays just don't like come up for no reason. Mostly they are addressing an issue. For example, we know that during colonialism as well as apartheid, one of the things that was really, destroyed, what the system tried to destroy, was the dignity and the cultures of Africans. And so there was a kind of belief that everything that is African is inferior, and that, you know, what is Christian is superior to traditional religions. And, you know, even in education, everything came up with one message, almost trying to say African things are inferior. And then you had the Black Consciousness Movement, which, restored Black pride as well as Black theology. But I think also the division amongst people, you know, what apartheid and colonialism is, that it's so emphasized on difference, in a way in which it could, both systems couldn't really recognize the beauty of diversity and the beauty of difference. Mm-hmm. They interpreted difference as inferiority, and that one culture is more superior to the other.
Okay.
And we know that this day, I think during apartheid, was celebrating something different.
Mm.
And so as part of rebuilding a new nation, a new identity, mm-hmm. I think this day was brought for people to, you know, restore the riches of culture and to celebrate the diversity.
And how do we do that? How do we do that in the month of September, and maybe even on the day? How are we supposed to do that? Because is it enough just for me to wear those bright colors that my grandmother has been sewing for me? Is it enough for me to eat ijekle and the samp and the beans? Is that part of the heritage? Is my heritage not more than that?
Yeah, it definitely is, you know, Father Brian, you've really touched a very important, point, because that is like a visible sign of something that should be much deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should be allowing, you know, our elders to speak. I was very interested in a storytelling event that is happening in Soweto, where the elders are going to speak about their lives and their experiences.
Uh-huh.
And that we go deeper into, because sometimes going back into the past, is a good thing, but our culture has changed.
Mm.
And so we need to be wrestling this month on issues like how do we continue to, what does it mean to be an African in a modernized world of iPads and all kinds of things? Do we need to go back to something there? Do we need to rethink what Ubuntu is today? So it opens up a lot of conversations. And I think this should be the month of conversations where we're reflecting on Black conscious, you know, some of the themes of Black consciousness, Black pride, but then that it's, you know, Indian pride, white pride, that it shouldn't be exclusive. It shouldn't, you know, cut. So I'm thinking of it on many levels, going deeper into your own tradition, but also not being stuck in the past, but trying to say, how do I bring that beauty so that even in the 21st century, I can still be completely African with my, with those traditions that will enable me to function in this situation. But at the same time, because I live in a multicultural context, I need to go out of my comfort zone and get to know other cultures, you know, other people that have come into the land, people from different African countries or European countries, you know, because now we are having a very multifaceted identity here in South Africa to not only stay in your own space, but to reach out and get to know other South Africans and other cultures.
Now, let's go to that
So that we have true unity and diversity.
Let's go to that. I would like us to dwell more on the multifaceted culture and identity. Now, here we are. We have this culture as Africans, because that is what we're celebrating this month, and that is what possibly most people are, the multiplicity of cultures and diversity. And we're actually saying, just because my culture is not the same as yours does not make yours inferior or mine superior. We seem to agree on that. Now then we then cross over and say there is Christianity. That's the first step we climb. Then we climb another step, which is Catholicism, and we climb those two steps and we get into a whole different world, which they themselves come with cultures of their own. And this is where the phrase that I used at the beginning of the show, and I close and close quote, schizophrenia comes in, because we become schizophrenic culturally. We don't really know. Now, can we hold the two together?
Even the three, my brother. Because, you know, even the four.
Yeah.
Because we still, you know, we've got the legacy of you know, of African culture that we adhere to. We've got you know, like globalization, this westernization. We've got Christianization, and and you know, the whole technological world that is getting, that is creating like a global village.
So,
you know, somebody can sit in front of the computer and have friends through Facebook or whatever social media, friends all over the world. And so we are having all these multiple realities, you know, and trying to find ourselves in all of that, trying to find each other.
Dr. Natando,
which is a very important thing.
Is they,
and also even within now, exactly, and we struggle to even integrate it.
So is it normal?
We are not integrating our faith and,
Dr. Notando, is it normal to actually even have this struggle, or it's abnormal? Is there something wrong with those of us who are possibly having those challenges, or those who are not having those challenges? Is there anything like an African Catholic heritage at all?
You know, those struggles are necessary so that we, you know, we just don't go along, you know, and then we don't really, are not able to explain it to the next generation. What is African about Christianity? What is African about our Catholic faith? You know, and also we need to ask ourselves, does it have to be African? You know, are we, you know, like we belong to so many, we're part of a global family, which means that we are connected at, you know, across nations and across different colors and races.
True.
And we, you know,
But
so that struggle is so real.
But that's for a person like you and I who are in possibly cosmopolitan cities. But my grandmother, who is still being catechized and being ministered to by the Dominican missionaries out in some little village in the middle of Africa somewhere, can she really say this is, we still keep our African culture and our African tradition? Does she still have to fight? The question that I'm trying to get is, can we hold all these different multifacets of our identity together? Is it appropriate for us to be having this conversation even now in Heritage Day, or we should not, and just say we just have one culture as a people, and we're that rainbow nation, and let's hold hands and sing Kumbaya?
Yeah, I think we need to have this conversation just to give depth to our own identities. And because what happens is that, you know, like sometimes it's almost, I think a lot of people, it's almost, what can I say, you can go to do umsebenzi, mm-hmm. In the rural area, you come back to mass, mm-hmm. You come back to, you know...
And you go and consult, and I would go and consult after that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's as if, and it was very interesting that a research was done, I think, by the Africa Religious, it's called AHAB, Health Assets Program.
Yes.
Yeah, Africa Religious Health Assets Program. And they said that, you know, it's us academics that are, you know, are busy stressing. On the ground, people are moving between multiple worlds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people, as I'm saying, somebody is sick. Okay, they will go to the doctor. And if the Western medicine doesn't have an answer to their illness, it's not an issue. The person will go to a traditional healer or a sangoma. And if that's not, responding, and they hear somebody saying, no, there's a prophet or a healer in town, somebody will go there.
Dr. Notando.
And then come back to their parish.
Dr. Notando.
So people are moving in and out of those spaces in search of life, in search of, particularly in search of life, because those are the questions that are very deep to us.
Do you think
when we are ill or when we are struck with poverty, you know, you need to find something that will assist you,
Dr. Notando?
So if you've got a buffet of options, people just move through.
Do you think our young people are not interested in the teachings of the past, you know, of our heritage, and possibly they are saying, look, it's fair and fine, and this is what has happened, but guess what, guys? We're going to build our own culture, because guess what? Culture and heritage is not static. So we will create what is going to work for us. What would you say to that?
I think there's a grain of truth in that, because culture is always evolving, mm-hmm. and it has to adapt in a way, because the way culture evolves to give life to a community, mm-hmm. to allow a community to find values and ways of living that support life, because life is at the very center of African traditional religions. And so when young people are striving for life, and sometimes it's we, the elders, that are not in conversation with them, mm-hmm. to say, let's talk together and see, how do we think of Ubuntu in your context as young people? Mm-hmm. Is it something, the whole interest, not only in your own career development, but in how you can use your career development for the common good?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think conversations need to go so that we also don't just want to hold on to culture for its own sake, but to see that it's dynamic, it's evolving, and that the whole purpose of it is to bring life, fullness of life to people, and to allow them to be able to flourish.
Great.
In the new context.
Great.
Because, you know, if you go to a village,
mm-hmm.
everything, all the cultural ceremonies are all centered around there,
yes.
in order for people to flourish. Mm-hmm. But when you're coming in town and living in an apartment, and you're on the 10th floor, you need a different kind of bringing the culture there that will allow you to flourish. So, so there's need for change, but change that is rooted in something that, like Ubuntu.
Okay. Doc, I would like you to now guide our listeners who are listening right now on how they can start having this conversation and these engagements in their communities, in their workspaces, in their places of worship. Because we see, because of our differences, some of us are dark as the berries, and some people are not darker, some people are lighter, some people are fair-skinned, they're Caucasians, some people are Indians. And what conversations should we start having then as Catholics? And as people of faith, be they Christians or whatever faith that they belong to, within the light of our heritage?
Yeah, I think we have resources that can carry us. We can actually frame the conversation, for example, based on, you know, the Catholic social teaching, mm-hmm. that every human being is made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a way in which, when I'm approaching somebody different from me or the same from me, there's a respect, there's a willingness to listen to what they have to say, a way of dialogue where we create spaces where people can speak because their human dignity is affirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole equality and also the realization, I think, in that we got from Laudato Si, from Pope Francis, that God is a God of diversity, and we see it in nature.
Yes.
We don't only have one fruit, one vegetable, one type of animal.
Yeah.
We have multiple diversity.
Wow.
And each one, just by being itself, contributes to the common good, to the ecological balance. So we already have these kind of frameworks or principles that can guide us in a conversation, so that even when we are talking, when we are exchanging ideas or disagreeing, because we believe in the human dignity of the other person, we will disagree in a way that will be affirming, that that will be, you know, that won't leave the other person feeling diminished or inferior. And also to use the word culture to refer to every group. Because sometimes there can be a sort of reduction of culture to only African.
Yes.
And then.
And let's be specific. Black people, black Africans.
As a culture.
Yeah.
So I think our faith provides us with principles of entering into dialogue based on respect and also the common good, that even when we get to know each other and we appreciate our diversity, our Christian faith, our Catholic faith says that there's a purpose in that, that we are called to use our gifts, use our talents to be of assistance to others. And sometimes because of the history, our different, maybe families, acquired privilege, and that we need to look at that as an opportunity to use that to raise other people up.
Great stuff.
And so we have a framework.
Yeah.
In which we can actually talk about these differences, in which we can celebrate the cultures, and also we have the belief within the Catholic Church that cultures themselves have got
Doc, I'm afraid,
needs to be preserved.
Doc, I'm afraid we're running
Pope
out
Francis
of time.
Says that we don't want a church with one face.
Yes.
We want a church with multiple faces reflecting the different cultures and history. So
Dr. Notando,
to be the ones who lead the way to celebrating diversity and difference and unity.
Thank you very much, Dr. Notando. And we're running out of time and we need to move to the next segment before Simba kills my head off. Thank you very much, Dr. Notando.
It's an absolute pleasure.
And
I'm just giving suggestions.
We are certainly going to continue the conversation. And thank you very much for at least beginning to unpack this monster that is called heritage, Catholic heritage. And clearly the fact that we are facing this struggles at an individual basis and as at a communal level makes this a very big part and part of the process of seeking the common good and in discernment.
And so thank you too, Father Brian, for your programs and for the way in which you keep us engaged with contemporary issues. I just want to say thank you.
Ngiyabonga sis, have a good afternoon, hey.
I paid you.
I'll tell the listeners that I paid you to say that. The time has gone exactly 16:40, and if you've just tuned in, it is Radio Veritas 576 AM. It's that station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. And that was Dr. Nothando Radebe, who has been really enlightening to us to tell us, guess what, guys? It's okay. It's okay to be trying to find your way through this maze that is called heritage, through this maze of culture. And so there is no reason to feel that you are alone, because guess what? You are never alone in this search for truth. Do not touch.